Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Scheltemer, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed, and our guest this week, poet, short story writer, teacher and organizer, Kim Aubrey. Kim, I know you sit on the Festival Executive Committee. We're talking about the Arts Festival that's going to take place in October this year.
October 24th to 26th.
Right. So what role does the committee play in organizing the festival overall? The
committee plans every aspect of the festival, from the workshops to theater performances and book fair and arts and art sale, panel presentation. We also apply for grants to help finance the festival, and we are also active in promoting the event and connecting with the community. Cynthia Reyes has an excellent blog that she's been writing that it's about what's involved behind the scenes, all the madness that's been happening.
Wow, that's a lot of things. Did you have to come up with the ideas in the first place, or was that coming from somewhere else?
Well, we had a successful event 2 years ago, so we're just building on that, but we have made some changes. So people on the committee have come up with new ideas, like a multimedia event, and we're also doing short plays this year instead of one long performance.
Oh, sounds good. And is that from feedback from people who attended the first one?
Partly feedback and just partly wanting to change things and for it to grow and also to include more writers and artists.
Great. So you mentioned working on grant applications. What is the greatest challenge in sending these applications?
Well, the greatest challenge for us, I think, has been dealing with the shifting deadlines. We had a close call where we had thought the deadline was a week later and found out it was actually 2 days away.
Oh, wow.
And just having to drop everything for a day or two and get going and get everything in on time. That was a bit of a challenge.
Are they complicated?
They are very complicated. I'm finding it's a great learning experience, though. Mm-hmm.
What sort of things do they have you do? Is it just finances, or are there other aspects to a grant application?
No, that's pretty much every aspect of the event that you could think of that they want to know about. And they also want supporting materials. So it's not just the grant. It's the vision and how it will contribute to the community, those sorts of things.
Wow. I hear you're inviting some Toronto-based writers and artists to participate in this festival. Why are you doing that? Why did you choose them, and how will they contribute?
Well, our theme this year is sharing across the arts, and both Katie Miller and Dane Swan have written books that are inspired by one of the other art forms. So Katie Miller's latest short story collection is called Late Breaking, and it was inspired by Alex Colville's paintings. And Dane Swan's poetry collection, A Mingus Lullaby, was inspired by work and the life of Charles Mingus, a famous musician and composer and civil rights activist.
Hmm, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so will they be reading their poetry and
I think they will have a little bit of an opportunity to read as well. They're on the panel. They'll be speaking about sharing across the arts. And both of them will also be teaching workshops at the event.
Wonderful.
And they're both they've both been shortlisted. A Mingus Lullaby was on the shortlist for the Trillium Award, and Katie Miller's Late Breaking was just also a finalist for the Trillium Award.
Wow.
And the winner will be announced, I think, next month.
Oh, let's hope she wins.
Yes.
Now, you had mentioned earlier a new multimedia event, so tell us a bit about that.
Promises to be a lot of fun. We will have some short videos that will feature the arts in Northumberland, and Critical Mass from Port Hope is getting involved. Local poets will be performing a choral poem that's going to be written by Ted Amston, our Coburg Poet Laureate. And the committee is just full of creative ideas. We have to put a cap on them sometimes because it will only be a 2-hour long event.
Yeah. So is that going to be like on a Friday evening or something?
That will be on the Saturday afternoon from, I think, 2 to 4. And we'll also have musicians performing and local poets will be reading their work.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Yes.
Well, talking about being entertained, perhaps you could read us something again and tell us what it is you've chosen to read.
So I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from the anthology Hill Spirits 3, which was put together for the last festival, and we'll be putting together another anthology for this festival. So I'll read a little bit from Cynthia Reyes' piece, When Life Gives You Apples. The apple trees were the first things we saw when my husband and I turned the corner around the big old house. The two trees were taller than the high farmhouse roof, with a broad spread over the thick green lawn. You'll be able to make lots of pies, I said. He gave me a big smile. We were smitten. My body was still whole then, whole and strong, and I immediately pictured myself climbing those trees to pick apples. I'd grown up, yes, but not outgrown this childhood passion. As children in Jamaica, my sisters and I climbed many trees, and when I became an adult in Canada, I saw no reason to stop. I still climb trees. Mom, my daughters had exclaimed when they were younger, half terrified, half laughing, whenever I climbed a tree and disappeared into its leafy branches. But I never fell, nor even slipped. My heart soared when I climbed a tree, looked down to the ground below, and looked above my head, feeling so much closer to the sky. This was happiness. By the time we moved into the farmhouse, however, climbing trees was the farthest thing from my mind. Some days I felt as old as the house itself. I wasn't, of course. At more than 140 years old, the farmhouse had me beat by nearly a century. But our move took place just 2 weeks after a serious car accident left me badly injured. The injuries cost me my job and a steady income, and left me trapped in the house for weeks, even months at a time. What does one do when one is stuck at home, venturing out mainly to visit hospitals, doctors, and therapists? One beautiful fall day, I noticed that the two huge apple trees were festooned with ripening fruit. Did I find myself gazing longingly at the trees, wishing I could climb them? Of course. I stood on the wide veranda and stared and yearned. But I knew the truth. I could no longer climb trees. Still, life had given us apples. Hundreds of apples every other year. So my husband used a long stick to pick the closest ones to the ground and made apple pies. Big as grapefruit when fully ripe in October, gently sweet and tart at the same time, the Wolf River apple was perfect for cooking. And I'll read also the first couple of pages of Erica Rummel's story, The Newcomer. I thought it would be harder to find a place to live as a newcomer. In Detroit, nobody rents anything to you after you come out of the slammer, except maybe a mattress in a flop house. But Julian said, Canadians are easygoing. He gave me a phone number to call in Toronto. Old Bev will rent you a place, he said. Just keep your fingers from her stuff. Okay, I said, even though I didn't see why that should worry him. The old woman rented me a room, no questions asked. And it's a posh neighborhood. They have dog walkers here. And landscapers who pick dandelions out of the lawn by hand. That's the kind of neighborhood it is. My room isn't posh, though. It's in the basement and crammed with old people furniture. There's a closet-sized bathroom and a fridge and microwave in the common laundry area. It's okay, except that the room has no door. It's open concept. It used to be the rec room, Bev said. So now she can pad downstairs any time she wants, pretending to do the laundry and checking up on me instead. I'll have to do something about that, but what? On the other hand, there's no way she can secure her place either. The whole first floor is open concept. I've been through everything, including the bedrooms on the second floor and the third floor studio, or whatever it is. A strange, empty space with a futon on the floor and mysterious cutouts dangling from the slanted walls, moons and stars, and the logo from the old TV show Charmed. None of her rooms are locked. I guess old Bev is the trusting kind. That's how they are here, Julian said. Too trusting for their own good.
Oh. Yeah, those are two lovely pieces.
Yes.
Nice to read the whole thing at some point.
Yes.
Yep.
Find out what happens next.
Yep. And I imagine that past issues of that will also be on sale at the festival with the new one.
Yeah, we'll have a book fair and there will be copies of both anthologies and also a lot of books by local authors. We have poets and short story writers and novelists and people writing thrillers and memoirs. So there's really a wide variety of books that will be available.
Wow, so a book fair too. And will there be any kind of launch for the anthology you're talking about?
Yes, there will be a launch on the Saturday evening, and it will include readings and also music. So there will be musical performances. And last year, it worked out really well to have the two art forms together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. So entertainment all afternoon and yet more in the evening.
More in the evening.
Time to buy books in between. I think I'll be in heaven.
Yes.
Well, many thanks for coming today, Kim, to tell us about not only your own work, and but also the progress that's happening on the Festival for the Fall. I want to ask you two things. First of all, mm-hmm. where can listeners buy your books?
My books are available through the publisher, Demeter Press. It's a short story collection called What We Hold in Our Hands. It's also available online through Amazon and Indigo, and there's an e-copy as well.
And just for our listeners, your name is spelled and is on the book as Kim?
Kim Aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y.
Right. And then secondly, about the festival, how do we get more information about the festival, tickets, things like that?
You can go on the Spirit of the Hills website for more information, and also like us on Facebook, and there will be information forthcoming. There's also the blog that you can link to. That's if you go on the Spirit of the Hills website, you can read our blog, which is very entertaining.
Okay, well, lots of things to look forward to and to look up in the meantime and get more information. So thanks again, Kim.
Okay, thank
you. Now, listeners, to connect with Felicity and me, please send your comments, queries, and suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our shows archived and available to listen to at any time. And we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.